Thank you, Tim, and everybody. That was a great music and a great selection for my message today. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's really great to see you all here this morning. And I know I always say this, but I do it with all sincerity, in that it is a real honor and a great privilege for me to have this opportunity to speak to you today. About 6 weeks ago, Ivan called and asked me if I'd be able to deliver the message this morning. Well, I prayed about it and asked the Lord for some guidance as to what subject should I preach on today. And I have been giving a lot of thought to the notion of unity, family unity, unity within our nation, etc. Well, the Lord just kept driving this unity idea into my mind, and I said, well, let's look and see what the Bible has to say about the subject of unity. So I looked at my concordance and randomly chose two reference verses from a rather long list of verses. And after reading those verses, I called Ivan and obviously said, yes. So here I am. I do believe that this is a very important message for all of us. Currently, I believe our country is more divided than it ever has been. Instead, we should have vision, ideals, and greatness. And instead, we are fighting with each other. We are on the defense. We are slow walking on policies and addressing issues. We are suspicious of everybody. We are second guessing. We are hating each other. We are exposing people in the news. It's just really so sad to see what's going on. And I want to say right now that this is not a political message, and I am emphatic about that point. And I can say that we will soon get to the point that does, in fact, apply to us. But just look at the atmosphere and the environment in which we are living today. I just wish that so many people would analyze this issue and catch the speed of unity in their lives. You know, reading your Bibles, we really don't need to read that far when we have brother against brother, Cain and Abel. Then you see a little later on in Genesis chapter 27, you see Jacob and Esau fighting against each other. Their mother comes up to Jacob and tells him that he must leave until his brother's fury subsides. You know, there's just no unity in that house anymore. They lied to his father, her husband. They lied to his brother, her son. And now she's telling Jacob he needs to leave. What's interesting, and I trust that you all know the story, but what is interesting is that Jacob has to go back and he reunifies with Esau. God does something that is supernatural in restoring that relationship between Jacob and Esau. It should be a prayer for the whole world that God would do something supernatural to the people who are fighting. I am praying for families that are divided. I am praying for our country. And I'm praying for a supernatural restoration of unity for any possible division that there might be in our church. We see it all the time where people are not unified. But if we are going to do what God has called us to do, we need to be unified. We have a big goal, and that is to go into all the world and make disciples. We cannot do that unless we are unified so that we can move quickly and with purpose. Without unity, we will never get there. Jesus said in Mark chapter 3, verses 24 through 25, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. We have a house or a nation that is divided and fighting with one another. We need to come together and move forward. Without unity, there is division. In churches where there is division, that is when there are church splits or breakups. I know of one church several years ago here in Fairbanks that had a split, and there are still some families who are refusing to attend any church. The Methodist Church today is a great example of where there is no unity it is reaping the havoc of disunity. One of the unspoken values here at the Nowy Bible Chapel is unity. Oddly enough, I now understand that unity is more than a value. It is the speed of accomplishment that is brought on by unity. In studying the Bible in preparation for this message, I found this idea of speed of being together. This involves walking together. Look at Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? I believe that it's rather profound today that we don't have people walking together. Instead, we have people fighting. And when people are fighting, what happens? They stop and they point fingers at each other. There's no movement going on. Why? Because they're fighting. There's movement when we agree that this is the direction in which we want to walk forward. You know, when we agree and we want to move forward in a direction, there is agreement. There are so many organizations, businesses, and yes, churches, where they can't come together and get to the speed of walking together. And no matter how fast you walk, and, you know, those Olympian walkers, you know how they walk? They're really fast. They really motivate around the track. They're fast, but runners are faster, right? We should thank God if we can at least get to the speed of agreement and the speed of being together. But guess what? I also see another speed in the Bible. It's the speed of vision. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Isn't it interesting that when you have unity, you can move from walking speed to running speed? When you start to cast vision, when a leader brings vision to an organization and you write it down, well, then all of a sudden things start to happen. Our chapel has vision. It is the strategic plan, and we are progressing from walking or jogging speed to vision speed. Recently, I asked the lead pastor of a mega church of what his vision is now. And without any hesitation whatsoever, he responded that he wants the church to grow to 20,000 congregants. He wants to give $10 million to World Mission. He wants to send 500 fully supported missionaries from his church. He wants 2,500 churches in a network to have influence on the mission movement. And he wants 1,000 churches to be kingdom builders and to each give $1 million annually, which is $1 billion annually, to the kingdom of God. That, my friends, is vision. And when we hear that type of vision, it's hard not to get excited. And I'm truly excited for them, and God has blessed this work, and they apparently seemingly seem to be on track to accomplishing this rather great vision. But when you have vision, then leaders can run with it, then staff can run with it, and then the congregation can run with it. When a church organization has vision, God blesses it and people start to gravitate to it. It has to be more than just vision that we simply are here to exist to serve God. For a church to successfully accomplish the vision, everybody has to be on board. And this brings us back to the speed of unity. The speed of unity is faster than walking, it's faster than running, it's faster than the speed of vision, it's faster than the speed of agreement. Look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. This is where the people came together to build a city in the Tower of Babel. God looked down on them and more or less saw the unity of purpose and vision that these people had and said, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Nothing is impossible for them. Anything that they want to do, they can do. The speed of unity says that nothing is impossible. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So they are all together in unity. And you know what happened? All of a sudden, there was a huge outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When you're running at the speed of unity, nothing is impossible. But additionally, there is power coming under the church. There is power that comes upon you when you are moving at the speed of unity. Furthermore, I think God really loves the speed of unity. Look at Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. God is saying when we're all running at the speed of unity, I like that. Did you realize that Jesus prayed for unity? Look at John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. Of the 25 recorded prayers by Jesus, one of them was about unity. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That is a prayer for us, by the way. Jesus isn't merely praying for his disciples. He's also praying for people a long, long ways away. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I kind of found that interesting, that our unity adds to the credibility of the message. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You know, I believe that the Trinity moves at the speed of unity. I believe that the Father says that this is my Son in whom I am well pleased, that the Holy Spirit descended, that Jesus is glorifying the Father. Jesus says the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is pointing everything to Jesus. People, do you all understand this, that there is such power for our chapel that enables us to move at the speed of unity? When we do move at the speed of unity, I think it's just really beautiful to see. You might ask, how do you know if you're moving at the speed of unity? You know, that's a fair question. First of all, I think you feel it. Everything is there. It just feels right. You just feel it. You know, have you ever walked into a church, and as you walk into the church, you say, oh boy, this is beautiful. This is gorgeous. But I don't feel it. And you walk into another church and say, oh, this is nice, it's clean, it's warm. And I feel it. You know, you can walk into a business and feel it. You can walk into a family setting and feel it. You know, I'm somewhat fascinated by these schools of tropical fish that you see snorkeling. They all kind of bunch up and swim together. Why is that? They don't do it to stay warm. They don't do it to eat. I just feel that there is such a feeling of unity that they kind of all move together. And that is what needs to happen within our chapel. In John 17, which I read to you earlier, the unity is not an administrative or organizational unity that keeps us together. You know what it is that keeps us together? It's heart to heart. I love you and you love me. We are in this together. We love Jesus, and because we love Jesus, I can't hate you. Instead, I love you, and I love Jesus, and we love one another, and we have this wonderful spirit of unity. You know, the world seems so much easier to divide than to come together. That what we have in Jesus' love just has to be supernatural. And even though we are a small church, we have great diversity. God just has to be in this. It is a supernatural unity that demands a supernatural explanation. What seems so natural for us just really confounds the world. Why would you hang out with them? Well, we are unified in Christ, and We're moving at the speed of unity. You feel it. Another thing you know when you have the speed of unity is that when I see you, I get a lift. I think that you all know what I mean. When you see someone, you get that bubbling, happy feeling, versus when you see someone and you quickly try to disappear and really hope that they didn't see you. Or if they did see you, you get that queasy stomach ache type thing, right? I think it's really great how we sincerely greet one another here at the Denali Bible Chapel. There is a real lift in the speed of unity. When we are in the speed of unity, I don't second guess you. I don't try to second guess the leadership. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Someone may badmouth you, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Perhaps I'll investigate it later, but initially, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Another thing that happens when you have the spirit of unity, we laugh with each other and at each other. Why? Once again, we are unified. We are all close enough where we can laugh. That is what happens when you have the speed of unity. When you are so concerned about the sensitivity and the possibility of hurting other people in your group, that other people need to leave the room. Well, that is not indicative of the speed of unity. When we have the speed of unity, we also cry with each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Another thing about the speed of unity is not only do you feel it, you also hear it. You hear it in the word, tone, and in the body. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. The second part of that verse says, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." When there is unity, you will hear the right words, the right phrases, and what is being said. I probably don't need to say this, but you will know that you are in a place of unity. When you are in the spirit of unity and moving in the speed of unity, you do more together than you could ever do alone. You do way more together. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. You know, this passage talks about feeling sorry for the person who falls down by themselves, that they don't have anybody there to help them. That person just literally stays on the ground. But if they have another person there with them, well, that person can help out and pick them up. The passage goes on and mentions a three-strand cord that is not easily broken. The point here is that there's something going on with unity and that there is a greater strength. The Wharton School of Business of the University of Pennsylvania did a study measuring the effect of unity and productivity. And here's what they did. They put all the people who liked one another and had unity in one group, and then in the other group, well, they just randomly chose a bunch of people to be in that group. And they found out that the group that liked one another and had unity outperformed the other random group by 20% on mundane tasks. On difficult tasks, the group that liked one another outperformed the other group by 70%. We have a difficult task here. We have to go out to the world and preach the gospel. We need the extra 70% on difficult tasks. We need the speed of unity to fill our church with people so that we can have a much higher level of productivity in reaching people for Jesus Christ. In any group of people, there are key people that are needed for the protection of the unity. If they are not together, then there won't be unity. How many people here are musical? Raise your hand. Thank you. All right. Thank you. If you're a musical, there are two people, I believe, that hold a band together. One of those people pounds on these things over here, a drummer. You need a drummer to keep the band unified with one other very important instrument. Does anyone know or wish to venture a guess of what that very important instrument is? Bass. It's the bass. The drummer and the bass have to be together. When they are in the pocket together, then the rest of the band is good. Now, I'm saying this to everyone here today, that you are either a drummer or a bass player. And trust me, you don't need to jump up here and play, but imagine, if you will, that you are either a drummer or a bass player. So you are either a drummer or a bass player, and I need you to protect the unity. The elders need you to step up to the calling of being a key person. Some of you may be saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm not a key person. Well, you are for where we are going. If we are going to grow and if we are going to support more missionaries, the elders need you now to be a bass player or a drummer. You need to say that I am a drummer and I am going to protect the unity of this chapel. There are other people, too. There's a coach and a captain of a sports team. You know, they need to be on the same page. They need to be unified. I recently read a book entitled Above the Line by Urban Meyer. And he talked about his football team that was floundering. And four or five of the football players came into his office one day and said, Coach, it's no good. You're too hard on us. You're to that, you're to this, and we aren't going to do it. Urban said, no, you are out of step with me. The day that you captains of this team get in step with me is the day we will become a championship team. So if you are not going to get in step with me, take the C off your jersey and get out of here. They decided that they were wrong. And they needed to be aligned with the coach and protect the unity of the team. When that happened, they went on to win a national championship. Who is Urban Meyer? He was the football coach for the Ohio State Buckeyes. He won 187 games and lost only 32. My friends, that is a great, impressive record. Regarding our nation, our president and our vice president, they need to be in unity. And wouldn't it be a miracle if our president, vice president, the House of Representatives, and the Senate were all in unity? You know, our government is so bad right now, it is like watching and listening to a first grade symphony orchestra. All off time, all screeching on cellos, violins, and everything else. Oddly, I think there's more hope for the first grade symphony. How do we protect unity as a church? First of all, we're going to speak life. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Troublemakers are using their mouths to create strife within the organization or the church or the team, or using gossip to break up friendships. We are going to speak life. We are going to be positive. That doesn't mean we can't speak up. I truly want to encourage people to speak up when it is time for input. Once input time is over, let's go. What I have found to be so very interestingly odd is, and I think it's part of our American culture somehow, is to stay silent during the input meeting and to speak up outside the meeting. And that just creates a level of division and strife. A team player may ask, is this a good idea? Is this what people want to do? Then great, I will go out there and I am going to run the play. Therefore, speak up and not out. Secondly, if we're going to protect unity, we're going to need to quickly forgive. Colossians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You have to quickly forgive over and over and over again. Thirdly, in order to protect unity, we need to honor in all directions, up, down, left, right, forward, backwards. It is not honor if you only honor your authority. It is honor when I honor you because you are my peer. It is honor when I honor you when you are serving. It is honor in all directions. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. That is what protects unity. We should be so grateful. Thank you for the coffee today. Thank you for doing the music today. Thank you for teaching the kids Sunday school downstairs. Thank you for being in the nursery today, etc. Fourthly, follow the prompt. What do I mean by that? And that's a good question too. But looking at John chapter 16, verse 8, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is convicting us of our sins. Remember a little bit ago, I was talking about those lifts and those stomach aches? We need to follow those prompts and ask for forgiveness and at times to praise God. Follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If we are grieving, well, we need to make it right. And if we need to share, well, we need to share with other people. Fifthly, if we're going to protect unity, we're going to celebrate with one another. We are all on the same team, so let's celebrate the accomplishments of one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Theologians call this the sacred oneness. And Paul is saying we need to protect the sacred oneness. What is required to protect it? Humility, gentleness, patience, love, and effort, all of which equals unity. That has to be supernatural in a world that is so self-absorbed. God is telling us to be humble, to be gentle, to be patient, to be loving, and to put in effort. We need to take the spotlight off ourselves and say, to God be the glory. We are on the team and we are going to protect this unity. We need to do whatever we can do. And it is just truly amazing all that we can do to bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sixth, put more of yourself in. Get involved in the activities of the chapel. And that is how you protect the unity here. Put more of yourself in. Your talents, time, and gift. In short, you wear the uniform. Just as an aside, when the Olympics start, they have the opening ceremony, and the entire U.S. team will gather together, and they march in, and they're all dressed in these super cool uniforms. And then after the opening ceremony, some of them go over here to that village, some to that village, some to that village, in order to compete in their athletic events. But the point that I'm trying to make is we need to wear the uniform of Jesus Christ and to give him the glory. Support the leadership. I've already spoken on this, but I will say that it is important to stay in the flow. Which disciple doubted Jesus' resurrection? Thomas, right? Very good. Why did he doubt? Well, he wasn't in the flow. The rest of them were all there together. They had all seen Jesus. And all of the disciples were excited, except Thomas, who adamantly stated that he does not believe it. Here the disciples have this huge task of the Great Commission, and one of their key players just doesn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. So what happens? Jesus shows up. He calls Thomas over to touch him, to look at his side. Enter the spirit of unity, and Thomas then goes to India to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, stay in the flow. The last thing is to pray for unity. I dare to say that we should remember that Jesus prayed for unity. If Jesus prayed for unity, then we too should be praying for unity. And trust me when I say this, if we do all these things, then I truly believe that there is nothing that is impossible for Denali Bible Chapel. If we do all these things, we will move with the speed of unity. Thank you very much. I'm going to close with a prayer, if I could. So if you bow your heads. Lord, I come before you realizing that we are so different, but that you could make us as one. Help us to be truly unified. You know, folks, I'm going to pause for a minute in this prayer. I've been preaching about unity, being unified. I'm just going to ask you all to stand up and grab a neighbor's hand. And if you're sitting by yourself, move. But I want everybody to hold hand. I know it's a bit awkward, but this is what it's about. So everybody should be holding the hand of a neighbor. All right, thanks. Lord, help us to be unified. These are our brothers and sisters. These are the people you have called us to do life with. These are the people we need to be unified with. God, I pray that we would just move forward at the speed of unity. God, I pray that we would do something supernatural and give you, Father, all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise when people look at us and ask, how can they love one another? How come they care? Well, because there is a spirit of unity resting on Denali Bible Chapel. Bless us, God, as we move forward. Help our country to move at the speed of unity. How amazing it would be for our country to be united and really be a beacon of light to the world and really be a city on a hill and really be a country that brings freedom and peace around the world. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for our church. And as much as it depends on us, help us to be at peace with everyone and pursue unity. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here. Thank you.